Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Reinbold.
Hello, welcome to Inside the Huddle, our weekly whiz around the NFL. Week one is in the books and plenty to talk about, so joining me to do just that, former defensive coordinator Rob Ryan, Solomon Wilcox, and my usual podcast partner, Jeff Reinbold. There he is. Jeff, let's just start quickly with you. A typical week one in the NFL, a typical week in the NFL, wasn't it? Just expect the unexpected.
It's craziness. But, you know, when you look at it, Neil, and you see teams like the Lions give up over 40 and the Bills give up over 40, and then you watch on the other end of the spectrum, you see the Rams execute on offense like they did. I think it's going to take about 3 or 4 weeks before this thing really shakes out and we see who the real good teams are.
All right. Now, one of the big stories to emerge from week one was Aaron Rodgers, an incredible comeback against the Chicago Bears. They're down 20-0. Rodgers is out with serious-looking knee injury, comes off the bench, heroic fanfare. He throws all the touchdowns, 3 touchdown passes. They beat the Bears 24-23. Solomon, he said straight after the game, "I'm definitely playing next week." Here we are on Wednesday. He's missed practice today, and that proclamation has gone to, "I'm day-to-day." I mean, how do they play this? Because they lost him last year for the whole season, and it wrecked their season.
There's no doubt they are a completely different team without him in the lineup. DeShone Kizer's the backup quarterback, came in and did not look really good. So I know Aaron Rodgers, he really feels it's his responsibility for the team and for the town to suit up every single week. And so whether he's practicing or not, he feels that it is his responsibility to show up for the other 52 guys to give them an excellent chance of winning.
Rob, as we look at Aaron Rodgers' stats, let's have a look at Rodgers' stats against the Chicago Bears and maybe tell us just how great he was effectively on one leg.
Well, it's just amazing. I mean, he goes in at halftime. He's hurt. He goes in, does whatever he's got to do to get back out on the field and throws for 273 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half against a top-5 defense. I mean, that defense, that Bear defense, is legit. It's going to be there at the end, one of the best in football. But you hang that kind of yardage up and are so accurate. I mean, it was great even on his standards. I mean, and we all know how great of a player he is, but that's one of his greatest games ever.
You think
ever
he brought
played.
New energy to that receiving corps? As soon as he came in back in the game, God. Now these guys are getting open and they're making plays. That's the difference in terms of what he brings to the table.
It's unbelievable.
Jeff, it was a spectacular effort, wasn't it, from Rodgers?
Phenomenal. And, you know, to kind of amplify what those guys are saying, you can bet on the Bears sideline when he walks out there, they go, "Are you kidding me?" Right? Because they had him beat at halftime. The game's over, right? If most NFL game, that game's over. But Rodgers comes on the field, and just like all great players, his team believes they have a chance. And I was really interested to watch Trubisky in the second half feel the pressure that Rodgers exerted because he had to match him, and he couldn't do it.
Yes, Rodgers had just 3 completions in the first half, but went off after the break, completing one of the most amazing comebacks of his special career. After the game, the great man spoke to the press about the big win over the Bears.
Got it checked out, was in some pain, so we want to do some further tests back in the locker room area. So we came back in, did some tests, felt like I couldn't further injure it at the time. So Doc and I agreed I could go back and play. Yeah, I felt like once I got back out there and the adrenaline was going that it loosened up a little bit, but then, tightened up there in the fourth quarter. I was walking up and down the sideline to try and keep it loose. But, we'll do tests tomorrow and give you a better answer on Wednesday when I talk. But as long as there's no major issues, and I'll keep playing.
Yes, so Rodgers missed practice on Wednesday, as did wide receiver Devontae Adams, who is out. Jeff, I don't want to kind of doom and gloom all of this because Rodgers was tremendous, but What if they rush him back and he gets hurt again? I mean, there's got to be that tendency. We are, after all, just in week two.
Well, and I don't think there's any question that they have to have him to be a playoff team. They're just not good enough. You know, DeShone Kizer is not Aaron Rodgers, and they are so Aaron Rodgers dependent offensively, and the defense is, still not where it needs to be. So for the Packers, you better be really judicious in how you bring him back, because I'd rather not have him for 2 weeks and be 1-2 than have him out there, get him hurt, and you don't have him for the rest of the year. You can throw the season away.
Let's just have a look at the next six fixtures for the Green Bay Packers then, because obviously this is an important period of the season, but not the business end of the season. They're at home this Sunday to the Minnesota Vikings, away to Washington in week three, then home to Buffalo, away to Detroit, and then home to San Francisco, and then they get their bye week in week seven. Solly, the player will want to be out there. How do you balance that and guard against, you know, losing him for the back end of the year?
I think if you were to talk to Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, he would tell you it's most important that Aaron Rodgers is able to protect himself. Mm. He's got to be able to move around in the pocket, be able to escape pressure, and still play the way that we're accustomed to see him playing. Right. That is extending plays, getting the ball out into the hands of his playmakers. Now, he's going up against a Minnesota Vikings defense that is, in my mind, the best in the National Football League.
Not the time to be testing a
wonky Mike Zimmer will test him as to whether or not he's healthy. He'll test the fact as to whether or not he's able to elude a pass rush. Because those double-A blitz, they were coming.
Rob, you must have had that situation where a player wants to be out there and you really want him to be out there. But, again, I go back to the fact this is the early part of the season, not the late part.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, you got to protect the player against himself. But, you know, here's Rodgers. Rodgers has played hurt so many times before with leg injuries, with ankles.
Oh, do you remember he had a calf injury a couple of years back? Like, he was outstanding.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
Hurt so, in the second half of the game.
Right. So if he's not going to do any more damage, trust me, you want him out there, and he's going to want to be out there. But if there's something where he could get more damage because he's playing on it and it is this early, you hate to miss the Viking game because it'll put whoever wins that game in first place and everybody will be looking from behind, you know, in the rearview mirror. I mean, you know, that's something you have to weigh in. But, again, this is a guy that has proven that he'll play hurt all season long. Yeah. And we've seen him do it before and he was still, you know, all pro and everything else.
Rodgers' performance was one of the best of week one, but maybe not the best, as we're going to come up with our players of the week. Feel like this should have a title, you know, but I don't know, the Tim Tebow. The Tim Tebow? No, not the Tim Tebow. But, Jeff, for you, so we're not going to do offense, defense, special teams. We're just going to pick one player. For you, your player of the week from week one.
It was Khalil Mack without a doubt to me, because here's a guy who's only been in Chicago for a week and he's out there and I don't know what else you can do. I mean, he gets a strip sack. He makes three tackles. He gets an interception for a touchdown. I mean, a guy made an immediate impact on the game and, you know, with no training camp, no OTAs, no coaching sessions, none of it. So I just think that was an unbelievable effort. You know, only being there 1 week.
Yeah, the Bears play Seattle this week. Seattle's offensive line was a bit of a mess in week one. They're not going to fancy playing an even more pumped up Khalil Mack.
I would say they're not sleeping well this week after watching the tape on Khalil Mack. But for me, Neil, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, because none of us saw this coming from him. Remember, he's supposed to be their backup quarterback to Jameis Winston. All he did was go inside the New Orleans Superdome and really outplay Drew Brees. And put up huge numbers in that game. Yeah. Got the ball to both of his talented receivers, DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans. And I just thought that he really rose to the occasion and carried that team on his back. That was a super performance.
400-plus yards passing, four touchdowns. He ran for a touchdown. Rob, are you going offense, defense? No, Jeff's a defensive guy. I knew he'd go defense.
You know, that Fitzpatrick was something else. But I thought T.J. Watt, another defensive guy, which Jeff Reinbold would appreciate, three sacks, a blocked field goal to make sure they didn't lose to the Browns, which would have been devastating to the entire team. So, I mean, this guy was a one-man show. He had nine tackles. I mean, he was all over the field. So, remind me of his brother, you know, J.J. Watt. Yes. This guy keeps it up. Shoot, he'll be right there for the defensive MVP if he's that good. My God.
Can I have a pick? Can I pick one?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, because I'm always, you know,
asking
questions.
You're one of the guys, Neil.
Thank you, Solly.
By all means.
Because you said that, I'm picking Ryan Fitzpatrick. There will be a theme here. I'm picking Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick.
I will probably pick offense all year long.
Okay.
Oh, you got to take a defensive guy at least 1 week, okay?
1 week.
Just give,
Not,
right?
Not this week.
Now, does Reinbold have to pick a special team player at least once?
I'm surprised you didn't go with number 12, Neil.
Oh, yeah, 319 yards, two touchdowns. Not that I've memorized it, Jeff. Andrew Luck back in the NFL with the Colts. That was good to see. Jeff, what about the... we wrap up this part here. We were worried about the helmet rule, some of the new rules. We didn't really see too much of that in week one, which meant it was good. It was mostly about the football, which is what we want.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that when the safety from Cincinnati got ejected from the game for striking... you know, Luck with his helmet on, as he came into the pile. You know, I'm a defensive guy. I love the physical part of the game, but the reality of the game today is you got to protect the players, and the players will adjust to this rule. I don't like the fact that Cincinnati lost the player. I can understand the penalty, but we live in a different day and time in the National Football League, and so we got to all adjust, coaches, players, everybody.
One, Solly, and I saw on Twitter you were talking with Carlos Dunlap, the Bengals defensive end. Carlos got flagged for tackling Andrew Luck and doing so with extra body weight. This is a new one. As two defensive guys here, how hard is it now, that one, for defenders?
I think the Carlos Dunlap play, I thought it was wrongly officiated because he was disengaging from a block and Andrew Luck was sort of running by him and he leaped to tackle him, and as he came down, he fell on top of him, but immediately he tried to roll off of him. This rule was really meant to take away the play that hurt Aaron Rodgers a year ago, where you hit the quarterback, lift him up, and then dump him on the ground and then drive your weight into him. Carlos Dunlap did not do that.
It's a tough one, right, isn't it, Rob?
No, it's tough, but you definitely saw there were several other ones during the course of the first week where guys were dumping quarterbacks and laying on them. And, you know, guys' helmets coming off and all that. I mean, that's the way it's going to be called, and I get it. Hey, we'll do business is being done. I mean, that's just a rule in the game. You don't have to like the rules. You're just going to have to play by them.
All right, good stuff, fellas. We'll be back in a couple of minutes here on Sky Sports with more Inside the Huddle.
NFL Challenge is a fun, easy game you can play with your friends and family to follow the excitement of the NFL season. First of all, register to play. Then, each week, pick the NFL team you want to represent you in each of the following positions: passing offense, rushing offense, defense, and special teams. Plus, choose one of the NFL's biggest stars each week to be your team's quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, and designate one of them to be your captain each week to score you double points. But you'll have to plan carefully, as you can only select a team position or player five times in a season. You'll score points as your team gains yards, scores touchdowns, defends, and kicks. There's also points for sacks, safeties, as well as minus points for interceptions and fumbles. All the way through the NFL season, you'll be able to pit your wits against your friends and family that you can invite into private leagues or take on other NFL fans in the UK. Head to nflchallenge.skysports.com to register to play and create your team.
Yes, make sure you get your NFL Challenge team in by Thursday night, because that is when week two begins. We're on air at 12:30 Sky Sports action. Into Friday morning, it's an AFC North affair. It's the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Yes, welcome back to Inside the Huddle. We're going to talk, continue to talk, all things NFL, all the big news from around the league. Still joined by Rob Ryan and Solomon Wilcots. Very pleased now to be joined by our friend from NFL Network, former NFL offensive lineman, Brian Baldinger. Baldy, let's first of all get your reaction to a wild week one.
Well, you know, Rob and Solly will probably attest to this, but it's overreaction to everything in week one, whether it was good or whether it was bad. You know, if you're the Buffalo Bills, nobody's going to give you a chance to win a game. If you're the Detroit Lions, it's a horrible debut for Matt Patricia. If you're Tampa or the Jets and you put up, you know, in the 40s, you think that you're on your way to the Super Bowl. So we saw some really, really good. We saw some really bad. We saw some heroic stuff from Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night that was just amazing, that this league sort of has always been founded upon.
Guys, when we look at the, as Baldy just mentioned, the highs and lows, you know, sometimes it levels itself out after week one, but who should be most worried after their performance on opening weekend?
I think the Buffalo Bills are one of those teams that have to be concerned, because not only did they look poorly at the quarterback position, Nathan Peterman gave them no semblance of an offense, and now they're going to be forced to go to a rookie quarterback in Josh Allen. Defensively, they played poorly as well. They were beaten in every phase of the game by the Baltimore Ravens. And so if I'm Buffalo, I'm concerned because they have more than just one area to fix.
Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. I also didn't like Detroit. They come out a home game, get embarrassed by the Jets in every phase of the game. Special teams, they gave up like two scores almost. They have no offense, five picks or four picks by Stafford. Guys calling their plays out. That's not good for anybody. And now you got to go on the West Coast. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's the first week and all, but I mean, this team could improve a whole lot and still get beat by 10, 15.
And having said that, the San Francisco 49ers, while they did lose at Minnesota, I'm not overreacting to that game. I think Jimmy G bounces back. They just happened to run into a buzzsaw of a defense in the Minnesota Vikings.
The flip side of that, Baldy, which team that had a stupendous high in week one has to be careful not to get too carried away?
Well, I mean, Tampa Bay put up 48 points in New Orleans, and they're going to play home to the Philadelphia Eagles, who've had 10 days to rest. The Eagles are much better on the offensive and defensive lines. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had all day to put up 500 yards of offense, he might not have that much time against that Eagle front that, you know, smothered the Atlanta Falcons on the opening kickoff of the season.
All right. Now, fellas, you know I like a statistic. I love to drop a stat into our NFL coverage. Just a little nugget, so I wanted to get your three gnarly old NFL veterans' thoughts on this. So this week, in week one in the NFL, there were seven 300-yard passers, 19 100-yard receivers, and just three 100-yard rushers. What do we think, Baldy?
Well, I mean, it is a passing league, but I think that, you know, September is the new August, right? I think we all agree that preseason, nobody gets much done. The running game, it takes a while sometimes to get it cranking out. Adrian Peterson came close to 100 yards. He's capable of getting 100 behind that Redskin offensive line in some weeks. So I think you've got to give it some time. And then, let's face it, most teams right now are running the ball by committee. We're not getting that many backs in the league. They're getting the carries to get them 100 yards. So it can be a little deceiving, and it also can be a little early in the season for it.
And, Baldy, you also know many of these coaches, I mean, they get the title of being a guru, not because they run the ball, but because they want to throw the football.
Right.
It really is about style points in the National Football League. Many of these new offensive coordinators, new head coaches, they want to show off their wares. When you go spend money to bring in receivers or bring in that new quarterback, you're going to spend a lot of time trying to get the passing game going. I think we'll see week two some of these teams go back to being more balanced and try to get the run game going. But they all want to show off week one. Everybody wants the bright lights and the ball in the air and the quarterback and receivers to have big games.
Well, by January, everyone's still got to be able to run the ball and stop the run, though. That doesn't change no matter what.
You've got to be able to run and play defense when the snow is falling. So it's important to have a great running game. I love Baldy's point about the substitutional patterns on offenses where, you know, it's not just one guy toting the mail, although it is in Dallas in certain spots. But, you know, that is a great point. And with all these spread formations nowadays, Sully, I mean, that's, you know, this is the future, it looks like.
One guy who came very close to 100 yards rushing was Adrian Peterson, kind of rolling back the years and proving his doubters wrong. He had 26 carries for 96 yards, a touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals, two catches for 70 yards. It was his 100th rushing touchdown of his career. Solly, let's start with you here. I mean, he just wants to constantly prove he's still got it, doesn't he?
Hey, he's 33 years old, okay? Mm. Most running backs who have worn a lot of the tread off the tires in the way that Adrian Peterson has over his career. You saw the big-time numbers, over 12,000 career rushing yards. He's in the top 10 in rushing yards and touchdowns. But many people, many of the analysts, many of us former players who have played had kind of written him off. He heard those words. I think he's been motivated. Mm. I think he's aiming to prove a lot of us wrong that he can still get it done.
I was so impressed with him. And how many times you've seen him go for 70-something yards in the passing game?
Mm.
Like, all of a sudden, man, he's found the fountain of youth. I love the power runs, you know, the excitement that he brings to an offense, the toughness that he brings. Mm. It's genuine. And They got off to a great start. I love Alex Smith out there, quarterback, hand him the football. There's two real pros there. And I think they gave some juice to that team that had been lacking that.
Baldy, what about the partnership between Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson in the backfield?
Well, Chris Thompson came back from a major injury a year ago, and he was right where he left off. He's one of the great third down backs and change of pace backs in this league, running it or catching. And Adrian Peterson just ran determined. That's exactly what Jay Gruden wanted. It's exactly what the offensive coordinator / offensive line coach Bill Callahan wanted. And I would say that this may be as talented an offensive line that Adrian Peterson has ever run behind in that storied career right now. Trent Williams is all the way back from that devastating kneecap injury of a year ago. He was dominant. But Brandon Scherff, Morgan Moses, it's a good group up front. And they are a team that is committed to running the ball. All that favors Adrian Peterson going forward.
Just quickly, guys, let's spare a thought for the Miami Dolphins and the Tennessee Titans in week one. They played 7 hours and 8 minutes. I want to know, across the panel, what's the first thing you do if you coached in a 7-hour and 8-minute game? You get back into the locker room.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know what they did. They had sandwiches there. I think it never shocked anybody there was going to be a delay.
Yeah.
But that long of delays and that many of them, I mean, that's got to be tough. I've played in Tampa with delays before, played down in Miami with delays, but nothing like that. The one thing you got to give credit to is Miami, I think, out-toughed them in that game.
Yeah.
I think they out-physicaled them, and I know that's got to be driving Vrabel crazy because he's one of the toughest guys around, and he's coaching that unit. And they got beat by a more physical team, in my opinion.
What a tough situation this. So.
If you're the Tennessee Titans, and let's face it, you're a first-time head coach, and it's the first time that your staff has come together to coach these group of players, it's got to be very difficult for the coaching staff to keep their focus, let alone for the players to keep their focus. And that's where I think the Miami Dolphins kind of outlasted the Tennessee Titans. They've won the battle of attrition. They remained focused, continued to make plays, and held on.
Baldy, let's keep it real, Baldy. The first thing you'd do as a former offensive lineman is get a great big cold one, wouldn't you? And I'm not talking water. 7 hours and 8 minutes.
That and just get myself a Domino's, you know, ordered in. I mean, two delays like that, who can go 7 hours without eating?
Oh, my God.
And then your pregame meal. So you've got to, but look, going back to the game, I thought Ryan Tannehill played well, and you saw what Kenny Stills did. I mean, they allowed Jarvis Landry to go to make Kenny Stills the number one wide receiver. He gives him more juice, a deeper passing game. And that 75-yard touchdown, catch is what Kenny Stills has done this league. He's got elite speed, and they use that in the game.
You know what that says, guys? It's just we never know what's going to happen in the NFL from any Sunday, from one to the other. 7-hour and 8-minute game. That's just par for the course in the NFL. We are out of time on Inside Huddle. My thanks to Brian Baldinger, Solomon Wilcox, Rob Ryan, and Jeff Reinbold, of course. We'll see you next time. Make sure you join us in the studio Sunday, 5 o'clock. See you then. Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, our special podcast section just for all of our podcast listeners out there, still joined by Jeff Reinbold. And it's time, Jeffrey, to make our picks, to cover ourselves in glory.
Well, all right, first of all, before we go forward, let's go backward. How did we do week one?
Well, that's a very good question, Jeff, because I should have the answer to that. I know, I went 8-8. I don't know what you went, but that's all right, because it's a long game. We're playing the long game. I know you're worried about results after week one, then you're in trouble.
It's a 16-week season, Neil.
Exactly.
Let's just move on.
It was a fair question. It was a fair question, Jeff. I just didn't have the answer. All right, let's start with our picks then, starting with Thursday night football. We've got this one on Sky Sports. We're on air. Sky Sports action, 12:30, Thursday into Friday. Baltimore at Cincinnati, Jeff. What a day for Joe Flacco. Both these teams got off to a winning start.
Well, there's a lot of questions about this one in my mind, because is Buffalo that bad? Is Flacco that good? You know, I watched this young Bengal team, and they impressed me on the weekend. So I'm going to take Cincinnati at home.
All right, you're going Cincinnati. I am going to take Baltimore. I think this story of Joe Flacco is going to be something that's worth watching all year long, Jeff. And also, all three of his new wide receivers scored touchdowns for him: Willie Snead, John Brown, and Michael Crabtree.
Well, they're big improvements over what they had last year. And for Flacco, this is interesting, Neil. You know, he really plays best when he's under pressure, because the pressure of that contract year, he had a great year. Then he kind of went into the wilderness for a couple years. Now they go out and draft a quarterback in the first round, and doggone if he doesn't come out and, you know, look like the Joe Flacco of old in the first game. But it's the first game.
All right, yeah, this is it. We've got to see how they all level out over the course of the coming weeks. The first game we've got as our main game on Sky Sports is Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Jeff, I liked a lot of what the Chiefs did in week one. There's going to be an air of desperation for the Steelers because they didn't get that opening day win against the Cleveland Browns. But I thought Eric Bieniemy called a great game. Patrick Mahomes looked comfortable. Tyreek Hill is devastating. I'm going to say the Chiefs win on the road. Who do you like in this one and why?
I'm going to take the Chiefs too, Neil, but they're going, you know, the thing that's scary about the Chiefs to me is you saw last week, their secondary is not real good, and they give up tons of yards in the air. Ben's going to have a big day, but I think that the Kansas City, like they're going to have to all year, is they're going to just outscore people.
All right, let's move on to Carolina at Atlanta. There's some injury worries for both these teams. When you look at the Panthers, they lost Darrell Williams at right tackle. Greg Olsen is out for an extended period of time. The Falcons lost Keanu Neal at safety, and Deion Jones, the linebacker, has just been placed onto injured reserve. I still like the Falcons here. It's in Atlanta. Who do you like?
I think you're right. I think Atlanta's a better roster top to bottom. I think that the Falcon front's going to get after that offensive line. Carolina, when they get to be one-dimensional, it's not good. So I take Atlanta.
All right, next up, the Los Angeles Chargers at the Buffalo Bills. He can't surely play Nathan Peterman again, okay? He'll have flashbacks to last year. 5 interceptions against the Chargers. And, it's going to be incredible if Peterman is out there. And Jeff, I heard the first 5 fans into the stadium start on Buffalo's offensive line on Sunday.
I'm not sure anybody wants to be behind that offensive line. You know, but there's so much pressure on Sean to play that young kid right now. Because Peterman just, Neil, that guy's played less than 8 quarters of football and thrown 7 interceptions in the National Football League. So, you know, that they've got to play the young kid, and now he's got to go behind an offensive line that is just struggling. It doesn't look good to me, so I'm going to take San Diego.
I'm going to take the Chargers as well. Jeff, just been informed by this wonderful earpiece that I'm wearing in the Sky Sports studios. Josh Allen is starting on Sunday. They may David Carr, their rookie quarterback, behind that line.
Ooh, and you know what? That is not a great way for this young kid to get started in the National Football League. I watched him in preseason. There were a couple of games he played late against Cincinnati in the preseason. They couldn't protect him, and it was ugly. And all it takes is just enough hits early on in a quarterback's career, and like you say, it could be the David Carr all over again.
Yeah, well, RG3, I mean, there's a long list, isn't there, Jeff?
Yeah, there sure is. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not what that organization wants for the long haul, because the kid did show enough in preseason early to make you go, wow, but now you're going to stick him out there when the games count. And this is a good San Diego pass rush coming into the Buffalo.
As the Bills wave goodbye to Nathan Peterman, Jeff, I'll give you a little insight behind the scenes from our Sky studios on Sunday. We were sat there, myself, Rob Ryan and Solomon Wilcox, and Rob turned to me and Solly and he said, there's only one guy who believes Nathan Peterman is an NFL quarterback, and that's Sean McDermott, because even Peterman doesn't buy it himself.
You know what? That's a lot of truth to that. And I'm, you know, obviously Sean McDermott's a doubter now too, because he's going to start Josh Allen. So it's tough in Buffalo, and they've got to show some improvement. They got to find a way to run the football, Neil, so that they can take the pressure off this young kid.
All right, let's rattle through a couple of these next ones, Jeff. Cleveland at New Orleans. So the Browns, they played the Steelers tough. I got a feel like New Orleans is going to have a real urgency now, and they must be embarrassed at shipping 48 points at home. I've got to think the Saints beat the Browns, even though Cleveland are much more competitive.
Well, I'll tell you what, I listened to the head coach's comments after the game, and he was after that defense, and rightly so, because that's Ryan Fitzpatrick in there, not, you know, Aaron Rodgers throwing for 400 against you. They just did not look good at all in any phase of the game. I think it's a bounce back week. And again, Cleveland still has to find a way to win games, Neil. They had so many opportunities in that fourth quarter against Pittsburgh and couldn't get it done. I think the Saints will, you know, bounce back in the dome.
All right, let's move on to the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. Both won in week one. The Dolphins played a 7-hour and 8-minute marathon against the Tennessee Titans. The Jets were all over Detroit. They scored through the air. They scored on the ground. They scored on a punt return. They scored on a pick six. There's already comparisons of Sam Darnold to Joe Namath. I mean, whoa, let's hold back a little bit. But it showed the Jets are going to be a competitive team, we think.
Well, Broadway Sam may be the answer at quarterback, but, you know, let's hold our little bit on that Joe Namath comparison. The thing I liked about Todd Bowles' team is exactly what you said, Neil. It's a great observation. They won in all three phases against Detroit and dominated in all three phases against Detroit. I talked to a friend of mine on the staff with the Dolphins, and that 7-hour game they're involved in, that was bizarre, and that's really taxing on those players' bodies. Now they got to travel up to New York. I'm going to take the Jets to go 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets as well. They're coming off a short week on Monday Night Football, but the Dolphins are also coming off a short week of sorts as well. What about Minnesota at Green Bay? I'm going to take Minnesota on the road, Jeff, because I just don't know about Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, now Devontae Adams is injured.
Well, I think, you know, again, Devontae Adams being hurt is big, but this defense that Minnesota has will get after the passer. And you can bet, again, that's a great secondary they're playing against, too. This defense is good at all three levels. I think they'll pressure Rodgers and they'll harass him all day long and win.
Jeff, how good was Harrison Smith, our old NFL UK Live
buddy?
Isn't
that awesome? I tell you what, both he and Kyle had great games in their first, you know, this first game of the year. And Harrison Smith was, wow. I mean, he was all over the place making plays.
Let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's performance was one of the more surprising ones, surely, Jeff, of week one. That's why, you know, myself and Solomon picked him as our player of the week. But it was DeSean Jackson. It was Mike Evans. I mean, there was obviously there's worries on the defense, but now here's a real test for Fitzpatrick, because Philadelphia, as sloppy as they looked on offense on opening night, their defense looked rock solid.
Yeah, you know, obviously they're weapons in Tampa. They've done a good job of bringing offensive players in there. You know, it's interesting, Neil, how this game is. You know, I listened to Peter King even this morning talk about how that, you know, they're going to have a decision to make in 2 weeks about which quarterback, and Jameis Winston's going to lose his job and all this kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. The history is the greatest predictor of the future. And Fitz is a quarterback you can win with, but you can't win with him every week. And I think we'll see the, you know, a big, big picture of what Fitzpatrick actually is when he plays against his Philadelphia defense. Because, like I said, the Saints were just miserable on defense last week. So I'm going to take the Eagles on this one.
I'm going to pick Philadelphia as well. Jeff, just on the Jameis Winston stuff there and Fitzpatrick, I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to replace Jameis Winston, but I think Fitzpatrick might be enough of a stopgap that the Bucs say, do you know what? We're not going to go back to Jameis, and maybe they draft a replacement next year, because you and I have spoken a lot about Jameis Winston off the field, and I wonder if they may see enough of Fitzpatrick to think, well, we'll move on from Jameis after next season.
Well, that's a great point. Now, that may be the way they go, because obviously Fitz is at the bottom of, you know, tail end of his career, right? I mean, he's been in the league a long time, and he's not a future, he's not the answer for the future. But again, if he's able to sustain this level of play, not even this level of play, if he just doesn't turn the ball over and he can make the throws that he made, some of the throws he made against the Saints, I can see him going out the year with him and then moving on from Jameis, because in addition to the interceptions and all the other craziness, there's just too much baggage around the guy.
Mm. All right. Also with Tampa Bay, DeSean Jackson is in concussion protocol. So if he's out, they won't be able to stretch the field as much. Houston at Tennessee. Jeff, this was two pretty disappointing teams. I know there was mitigating circumstances for the Titans, but they lost Marcus Mariota. Delanie Walker is gone for the year. DeSean Watson was really hard on himself, and Houston's offensive line was bad. I'm probably going to take Houston on the road, but these two teams have got to show us something in week two. Who do you like?
I'm going to tell you something. Our producer, Alex Mason, is in for a long year watching these Titans because they are not very good, and now they lose Delanie Walker. I can't see in any way that they can beat a Houston Texan team that, you know, I think with Deshaun Watson back is not too bad.
All right, so we're both going Houston there. Let's move on to Indianapolis at Washington. I quite liked what I saw from the Washington Redskins. They're at home. Andrew Luck is still Andrew Luck, but he's not got much around him or in front of him. I'm going to go Washington. What about you, Jeff?
I agree. And, you know, again, AP seems to have found a fountain of youth. And really, the guy I think that deserves all the credit right now in Washington is their offensive line coach. He is doing an outstanding job. This is an offensive line that really, really plays well together. And Peterson has, you know, really, Neil, you look at his age, for him to go out and do that, I think says a ton about him, but also about this offensive line.
All right, let's move on to some of the later games then on Sunday. Our main game on Sky Sports is a good one. New England at Jacksonville. Jeff, we've got to wait and see what happens with Leonard Fournette as the week unfolds. I want to pick the Jags. I really fancy the Jags for this one, but Fournette is so key to them. So whenever I'm sort of teetering on the fence, I always let you go first. So who you got?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Yeldon's not terrible, Neil. And, you know, I think this defense for the Jags is formidable. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey gives you the ability to take guys out of games. And so I'm going to say, factor all that in, and the fact that if there's one state in America where the New England Patriots don't play particularly well, and that's Florida. So I'm gonna take the Jags at home.
All right. I'm going to take you're going Jags at home. Well, let's have a statement win for the Jags. I'm going to go Jags as well. I think that defense is for real. Rob Ryan's going to break it down for us at the touchscreen on Sunday. Let's rattle through a couple of these other ones. Arizona at the Rams. I'm going Rams. Jeff, for you?
Rams. All right. Boy, were they impressive offensively.
Yeah, they were very good on offense. Detroit were terrible on offense. 5 interceptions there at San Francisco. I think the 49ers beat Detroit and heaps some pressure on Matt Patricia. Who'd you like?
I like the Niners in that one at home.
All right, both going Niners. We are actually all the same on our picks apart from that first one where I went Baltimore and you went Cincinnati so far. Oakland at Denver. Raiders played tough for the first half, Jeff, but not the second half. I like Denver at home.
Well, you got the oldest roster in the National Football League in Oakland. They're going to Mile High where the air is thin, and I think that they'll play well early like they did. And then they just ran out of gas in the second half. And I thought that you saw something from Sean McVay going to no huddle and speeding the tempo of the game up with those older players on defense. And they just got gassed in the fourth quarter.
You going Denver?
I'm going to go Denver.
I'm going Denver. And great to see Emmanuel Sanders back rocking it.
Wasn't it awesome?
Last one on Sunday Night Football, the New York Giants at Dallas. I'm going New York Giants to win this one. And Dallas... Jeff, if Dez Bryant can't crack that receiving core, I mean, there must have been problems off the field. It wasn't a pretty display from Dallas in week one.
You know, and you know, there's no bigger Cole Beasley fan in the world than other than Mrs. Beasley, me.
Yep.
And I just really, when he's got to do as much as he did in that game, then you know that you're not getting any production from your tight end or your wideout. So, you know, they're going to see 8 and 9 man fronts, and they're just going to continue to have to pound the ball. And I just don't see that as a recipe for success. So, again, I think the Giants will go in and get their first win under Shurmur.
All right. And then Monday Night Football is Seattle at Chicago. I thought there were some positives, real positives, for the Chicago Bears, Jeff. You alluded to Khalil Mack. He was outstanding. Seattle were really struggling again on the offensive line. Stop me if you've heard that before. I mean, when are they going to fix this? I've got to go Bears to win at home.
Well, you know, we talk all the time, Neil, about how sometimes you just got to admit your mistakes and move on. And I watched Jermaine Ifedi in that game last week for Seattle. And, Neil, if there wasn't a tight end next to him, Vaughn Miller, it was like free access to the quarterback. I mean, and there's your first-round draft choice tackle. And, obviously, they're not good enough on the offensive line. And I don't care how great an athlete Russell Wilson is, you know, you can't win with an offensive line like that. They are a mess on the offensive line.
All right, both going Chicago in that one, Jeff?
Yep.
All right, we have one different. It's all on Thursday night. That's all we've got to worry about. let's take a couple of questions in the mailbag, starting with this one from Matt Reynolds, no relation. He says, would the Cleveland Browns do better with a better coaching staff, better play calling? They seem to have loaded up on talent in the offseason and showed potential, but it slipped away against the Steelers. Jeff, these are just the kind of questions that Hugh Jackson has faced, will face until they start winning because, you know, it's a production business, as you say.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, and I know Solly and Rob would attest to this. You know, winning and losing become habitual, right? Teams that expect to win, when they get into those fourth quarters like the Browns had the other night, they find a way to win a football game. Mm. You look at the Browns roster and compare it to the Steelers roster, it's not that big a difference. They had that football game at their disposal and couldn't close it out. And I think that, you know, they're good enough, but they've got to get over the hump. And again, that comes back down to leadership, in my opinion. And so until I agree with this, until those guys start to follow Hugh, or they're going to have to make a change because this is too good a football team to have a chance to win at home like they did and not close it out.
Jeff, this one from Paul Redmond says, can the Cowboys fix the offensive issues that have been there since the start of preseason and showed up big at Carolina? We can maybe broaden this out a little bit, Jeff, because if you haven't got the receivers by now or you haven't got the tight end by now, what can you do about it? And we'll see this as, you know, Keanu Neal goes down for the Falcons, Greg Olsen goes down for the Panthers. There's only so much, surely, you can do now we're at this stage and the season is up and running.
Yeah, and again, this is on the Cowboys, Neil. You got to put it squarely on their shoulders. And I'm a big Jason Garrett fan, and I don't know how much of it Jason was actually involved in and how much of it was his decision. But I'm not, and again, let me just say this too. I'm not a Dez guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I am a guy that says, are you good enough at tight end? You couldn't replace Witten. Are you good enough at wideout? You didn't replace Dez. You brought in guys and they haven't produced, and the chances are that they're going to get better over the course of the season. They'll get maybe marginally better. But your football team is hurting right now because you don't have any strength outside. I don't know where you go get it, Neil, unless you got a trade partner at this point. And you know how it is to trade. Everybody knows Dallas is desperate. Mm. So you're not going to get – you call me and you're desperate? Well, I'm not going to give you a great deal, right?
Jeff, they wouldn't let me put this this little bit in the TV show, but Andrew Luck's back. Everything's right in the world. Birds are singing. The sun is shining. I don't know. Everything just feels different. I've got a spring in my step. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Hey, did you see him come out of the tunnel for that game? Was that not priceless? He looked like, Neil, I swear to God, he looked like he was a 16-year-old high school kid coming out of the tunnel for his first high school football. He looked like Georgie when he plays his first, you know, game for Great Britain. I mean, he was so amped up to play. It was priceless, priceless, priceless. You know, we tease all the time about your relationship with him, but I'm a big Oliver Luck, I mean, Andrew Luck fan too, because one of the NFL's really, truly good guys has fought back from a year off, devastating injury. I mean, you root for those guys.
You guys who are listening to this podcast, you can't see it, but I'm smiling. So we'll just leave it there. Enjoy week two in the NFL. We'll be on Sky Sports Action from 5 o'clock on Sunday. Until then, Jeff, say goodbye to the good podcast listeners.
Aloha.
As a cattle farmer, calving season means long days. So when my head hits the pillow, I don't want nightmares about losing calves.
Vodafone helps farmers rest and work more efficiently with our market-leading Internet of Things network and MooCall, a device that sends alerts when a calf is on its way. Search Vodafone Business Solutions to discover how we're so much more than mobile. Vodafone. The future is exciting. Ready? Subject to area availability, minimum terms apply. Details at vodafone.co.uk. Business Solutions.